Will the House come to order?
Will the members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk please take the roll?
29 members present.
We have a quorum present to conduct business. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Collins has been excused from the call of the House. Representative Miller is excused until playing time.
Our chaplain today is Bishop Michael Kinney of the Holy Roman Catholic Church. Will the members please rise for the invocation?
Although you've already been here for nearly 2 months, I would like to extend my own welcome to those of you who are outside of Juneau, and to the two new Juneau members of the House, I certainly want to say welcome. Let us pray. God, it seems strange in a way to be praying in this place. We are comfortable speaking to you in churches and synagogues. That's why we build them. Many of us find it even more natural to seek you in the out-of-doors, where the beauty of creation calls us into your presence. But what place have you here, where we are engaging in the heady business of state, of making and changing laws, of raising and spending revenues, where self-seeking and community interests have a way of blurring, where pride and prejudices can so compromise sincerity and dedication, where a need for power can take the heart out of a desire to serve. Perhaps this is not where it is easiest to pray, but where we need to pray. Such prayer can take real courage, for it forces us to look at things from your perspective rather than ours, and challenges us to do not our wills, but yours. And so, God, we dare to pray. Be with all of us here. Amen.
Representative Porchot, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
Are there any objections as to having the prayer spread upon the journal? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Would the clerk at this time please certify the journal for the 61st, 62nd, and the 63rd legislative day?
As chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 61st, 62nd, and 63rd days.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House journals for the 61st, 62nd, and 63rd legislative days, as certified, be approved.
Are there any objections as to the correctness of the journals before you today? Hearing no objections, the journals stand approved. Do we have any guests for introduction today? Representative Larson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. As you know, in the United States, there are two great cities of Houston, one in Texas and one in Alaska. The largest one, of course, geographic-wise, is the one in Alaska. So at this time, I'd like to introduce the mayor of that great city, Mayor Mickelson.
Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, if you will permit me a little latitude in introducing some very special guests in our galleries today. Mr. Speaker, we have 25 students, of which a number of persons will introduce you today. But briefly, these students are from Clark Junior High in our own city of Anchorage. Mr. Speaker, they come, for the lack of a better word, they come on their own nickel. They raise their own dollars, and they have come to Juneau for the next 4 days to review the legislature in action. Briefly, Mr. Speaker, the students, in earning their monies, held bake sales, they collected aluminum cans for recycling, they put on a dinner carnival at their school, they called it Festa de Taco, and it's my understanding, Mr. Speaker, that they had the largest gathering that the school has ever had. I recall some time ago, Governor Sheffield also made several key announcements at that school, and I'm sure they generated a large crowd. I'm told also that they raised a net amount of $1,600 during that one function. They held a bowl-a-thon, sold T-shirts, and a number of other things, Mr. Speaker. Not only did they raise sufficient monies to pay for the ticket, but they also are taking care of their own hotel fare. It's also my understanding, Mr. Speaker, that the student was selected based upon an essay that they had written, and it was judged. In fact, they used numbers so as to be very objective in the selection of the students. I have the pleasure of introducing, on behalf of Representative Barnes and I, five of those students, along with their chaperones. I would ask that, as I call their name, that they will remain standing, and then we will give them a hand. The chaperones, Mr. Speaker, are Mrs. Jackie Bronner, the teacher, Mr. Jack Alexander, the teacher, Mrs. Patricia Alexander, Mrs. Darlene Hughes, and Mr. Jerome Pate. They are the chaperones. The students, Mr. Speaker, that I will introduce are Wendy Larson, Laura Hughes, Jennifer McDade, Hope Mooney, and Leanne Mayberry. Again.
Representative Martin.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to take the honor right now of introducing some of the students also from beautiful downtown Mountain View. If y'all don't know where that is, that's the northeast corner of Anchorage, and they had the oldest junior high school in the city, about 27 years of age now. And if you're really compassionate, we do need some upgrading money, though, during the budget. The students I'd like to introduce are Matt Smith and Fred Stewart, Rachel Schofield, Kelly Workman, Jessica Grotch, Candace Tu, and Barbara Pate.
Representative Porchot.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, like to introduce some Clark Junior High students. Ryan Vowell, who, by the way, lives on my street, Jason Alexander, Leanne McClurg, Patricia Tyler, Alma Schneider, and Gary LaPalmley.
Representative Cotton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There are four students at Clark Junior High that are residents of mine and Representative Phillips' district: Leanne Oliver, Charity Gumbetter, Richard Brenner, and Colt Bell.
Representative.
Mr. Speaker, while I'm at it, I noticed there's some other friends of mine in the gallery here, some teachers from the Eagle River Chugiak area: Steve X, Karen Miller, and Marcia Bradley, and another former Eagle River person who's a friend of mine, Mary Whitman.
Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have a guest page again this week, Howard Joyce from Soldotna.
Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, Representative Cotton and I have some students here also from Clark Junior High. And they're from the East Anchorage area, the Anchorage side of our district. And would you please stand up as I call your names? Butch Newton, Stephanie Altman, Zara Pastos. Okay. Oh, the other. Okay. And Tabitha Weaver. And that's it.
Any further guests for introduction? Messages from the Governor.
Dear Representative Grusendorf, in accordance with AS 39580 and Article 3, Section 25 and 26 of the Alaska Constitution, I submit the following names for legislative confirmation of appointment to the positions noted. To the Department of Public Safety, Commissioner Arthur A. English.
Standing Committee, State Affairs, and the Judiciary Committee.
Boards and Commissions. To the Athletic Commission, Terry W. Pegues.
Labor and Commerce Standing Committee.
There are three people to the Board of Fisheries.
Resources Committee.
Three to the Board of Game.
Also resources.
We have the Guide Board.
Resources Standing Committee.
And the State Medical Board.
Health, Education, and Social Services.
I have no further messages from the Governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate has approved the following citation, and it is transmitted for consideration. In Memoriam Thane Curry by Senators Fisher and Zemanski and Representative Hudson.
Rules for calendaring.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Do we have any other communications that should come before this body?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us down on the daily order of business to reports of standing committees.
The Transportation Committee has considered House Bill 156, increasing the motor fuel tax. Reports it back as follows with a zero fiscal note with analysis. The report was signed by Cato, Chairman, signing Dupass, Hudson, and Cato, having no recommendation, Pierce and Springer. House Bill 156 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. Community and Regional Affairs Committee has considered House Bill 163, relating to advisory elections on certain annexation proposals. Reports it back as follows with a fiscal note and a zero fiscal note. Report was signed by Springer, Chairman, signing Dupass, Springer, having no recommendation, Cato, Collins, and Herman. House Bill 163 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The State Affairs Committee has considered House Bill 167, relating to mandatory use of safety devices, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 167, State Affairs, with the same title, recommends it Dupass, attaches a zero fiscal note and a zero note with analysis. Report was signed by Ulmer, Chairman, signing Dupass, Ulmer, Davidson, Donnelly, and Menard. Martin has no recommendation. House Bill 167 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees.
I have none.
Introduction of resolutions and citations.
There are none, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
House Bill 203 by Larson, Swackhammer, and Kopanen. An act relating to forfeiture of weapons used to commit a crime.
Two standing committees, Judiciary and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 204 by Swackhammer, an act relating to state aid for school construction and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, and Social Services and the Finance Committee.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us down to the consideration of the daily calendar. Would the clerk please read the first item on that calendar? 1 minute, please. Representative Cotton.
At ease, please.
Would the House please stand at ease? Before the at ease, we're about to enter into the daily calendar. Would the clerk please read the first item on that calendar?
House Bill 74 by Sun, Grunberg, Taylor, and Donnelly, an act relating to motorcycle license plates. The State Affairs Committee has considered the bill and recommends it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by Ulmer, Chairman. Signing Dupass, Ulmer, Boucher, Martin, Davidson, and Donnelly. Menard signed Dupass, I wish it was seven letters. The Transportation Committee has considered House Bill 74, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 74, Transportation, with the same title, and recommends it Dupass. The report was signed by Cato, Chairman, concurring Cato, Hudson, Pierce, and Boucher. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 74 and recommends it be replaced with the Transportation Committee substitute and Dupass. Report was signed by Adams, Chairman, concurring Adams, Porchot, Larson, Gall, Brown, Wallace, Davis, Boyer, Rieger, Frank, and Swackhammer. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Having one committee substitute, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House adopt the Transportation Committee substitute for House Bill number 74.
Are there any objections as the adoption of the CS Transportation? Hearing no objection, the CS Transportation has been adopted. Would the clerk please make reference to amendment number one before us?
Amendment number one by Miller and Son to page one, line 11. Delete may, insert shall.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
Are there any objections to amendment number one?
Yes.
Hearing objections. Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In conversations that we had with the Department of Public Safety and the Transportation Committee, this is one of those programs that is going to be zeroed out in the department's budget. And it's kind of interesting, that fact, because they're going to save $36,500 in zeroing out this program. However, we're going to give up $45,000 in revenues when we do that. It doesn't seem like it makes a whole lot of sense. And I asked the man from Public Safety how he could, you know, legislative intent that this law is on statutes and we want the program. He said, well, very simply, the word may is in there and they can do as they please. And I don't know about the rest of this body, but I guess I'm getting a little tired that departments are doing this
against the will of the legislature, so it's the reason for the amendment. Thank you.
Any objection to amendment number one? Representative Martin.
I objected mainly for the valued information that the representative from Fairbanks gave us. And it is true that the vanity plates do pay for themselves. And I want to bring out that this is a substantial change in the legislation, not just for motorcycles, but for all vanity plates. And as you said, that those people who had personalized plates do pay in excess of the cost for that license plate, and therefore it's like paying an extra fee for government services. And on that same rationale, some of us in the State Affairs Committee wanted to change in line 12 six letters to seven letters, because there's, again, the number of people who will be willing to pay the additional cost. And therefore, because people are willing to pay for services, it's going to cost less than the government. So I kind of agree with the shell if it's going to make more money for the department and for people paying for their own services. And I just want to emphasize that.
We move the objection.
Representative Furness.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, let me just voice my support for the amendment. I think it's very important. I, too, had done a little research on this and found that the department stands to gain about $45,000 in revenue. But I think more important, in concert with the member from Fairbanks' comments, I note in a memo from the Department of Public Safety dated March 5th, 87, which Commissioner Nix had indicated that the department is opposed to this bill. It is felt that at the time when we are cutting positions and function, it is not the time to add additional duties. Well, Mr. Speaker, I think the member's amendment is quite in order, because if we do not mandate it by putting Shell in there, I feel here, based upon the commissioner's position, that they'll simply scrap the program and not make that personalized plate available. So I would ask the members, in view of that, we should support the amendment.
Are there any objections to amendment number one? Representative Larson.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to give a note of explanation here. In our public safety subcommittee, it was stated, of course, that the position for the vanity plates was suggested that it not be funded in the budget this year. I think everyone who spoke today spoke correctly so, in that it does generate about $160,000 a year in program receipts that we know go to the general fund. The bill that's before us would be approximately another $45,000 in program receipts that would go to the general fund. But I think the philosophy that was presented to us in the subcommittee meeting was that, seeing that the money goes to the general fund, we should do away with the position that has the vanity plates. So I guess I'm standing today to tell everyone that it's going to be my recommendation that we replace the PCN number so that we retain these program receipts from both the regular vanity plates, and if this bill passes, from also with the motorcycles. So I, too, would urge the passage of the amendment.
Representative Zawacki.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I also want to express my support for the amendment and also the comments that were made. I would like to maybe suggest to the sponsor of the amendment, and I don't know if we're going to need another one, but if you look at line 14, I think there's the May in there also, which refers to the motorcycle. I think that should also be Shell in there, because the first part does not pertain to motorcycles, and line 14 does, and I think that should also be part of Amendment 1, if we can do that. May we have an NAD, sir?
Would the House please stand at ease? Would the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we were debating Amendment Number 1. I understand there is an amendment to the amendment. Representative Zawacki.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I request that we have approval of amendment to the amendment so that we have on page 1, line 11, and page 1, line 14, insert Shell and delete May, because they pertain to all motor vehicles.
Okay, the amendment to the amendment is on the clerk's desk. Is there any debate on the amendment to the amendment? Are there any objections to the amendment to the amendment? Hearing none, the amendment to the amendment has been adopted back to the main amendment. Does anybody object to amendment number one? No one objecting. Amendment number one has been adopted. Does the clerk have further amendments upon her desk?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Having no further amendments, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that Transportation Committee substitute for House Bill number 74 as amended be engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Are there any objection to the advancement motion from second to third reading? Hearing no objection, would the clerk please read the title of that bill?
Committee substitute for House Bill 74, Transportation, amended by the Transportation Committee, an act relating to motorcycle license plates.
Third reading, under debate. Is there any debate? Representative Pettyjohn.
Mr. Speaker, I have a question for perhaps the chairman of the Transportation Committee. We have a discrepancy here between the owners of motor vehicles, who are allowed 6 letters, and those who own motorcycles, who are allowed 4. And I just wondered, did this have something to do with the vocabulary of the people involved? what accounts for this discrepancy?
Representative Cato.
Mr. Speaker, I don't believe it has anything to do with that, but I would say that it probably has something to do with size. An elephant can take a lot more letters than perhaps a mouse.
Representative Sund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I really appreciate all the amendments to my bill here, and I think they've added on to them. But I just want to point out that this is just one of a few more revenue enhancement measures I have coming to the floor, and I hope you will support the ones that are coming as well as you're supporting the one in front of you. Thank you.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 74, Transportation Amended, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Will the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
39 yeas, no nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill 74, Transportation Amended, has passed the House. Would the clerk at this time please read the next item on today's calendar?
Committee substitute for House Bill 106, Finance, amended by the Finance Committee, an act relating to the payment of criminal fines and restitutions. We are in third reading, Mr. Speaker.
Okay, it is in third reading and under debate. Representative Sund.
We have an at ease, please.
Would the House please stand at ease? Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we have the bill before us in third reading and under debate. Representative Herman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May we go back up the calendar to introduction of guests, please?
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, proceed.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to introduce in Gallery B Mr. Jim Barnett, who is superintendent of Lakin Peninsula School District.
Any further guests for introduction? Representative Gull.
Stand at ease, Mr. Speaker.
Will the House please stand at ease? Will the House come back to order? Before the several at eases, we have the bill before us in third reading and under debate. Is there any debate? Representative Taylor.
I believe there's an amendment on the clerk's desk. I'll offer at this time amendment number 3 and ask for unanimous consent.
Representative Taylor, the bill is before us. Yes.
I'd ask to move back from third to second reading for purposes of a specific amendment, that being amendment number 3.
Motion to move back to second reading. Give the representative a little latitude to discuss the amendment.
Yes, the amendment was originally created by the sponsor of this legislation. I joined with him in sponsoring that amendment. He's now indicated to me that he probably would not be offering the amendment. For that reason, I'm offering it at this time.
Motion before us is to move back to second reading. Are there any objections? Hearing objections. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 106, Finance Amendment, be returned to second reading for the purposes of a specific amendment? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk lock the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
26 yeas, 13 nays.
The bill is before us in second reading. Representative Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Number 3 and ask for unanimous consent.
Proceed.
If I might, I assume that you recognize the objection and therefore speak on the amendment. The amendment does one specific thing, and that is it delineates that any restitution that shall be paid or ordered by the court to be paid shall be that amount which has been incurred in providing services to the victim. The sponsors of this legislation have throughout told this body that the purpose of this legislation is to make the victim whole. Some of us were concerned that that was not the true purpose of this legislation, but instead that this legislation was solely a funding bill brought by agencies to be carried on the backs of these victims. This amendment would clarify that position and make it clear to anyone reading this legislation and any court being required to interpret this legislation that it would reimburse to the victim the amount of damages that had been incurred by that victim, the amount of services that had been incurred. That's the reason for offering the amendment, Mr. Speaker. Thank you.
Representative Gull.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The effect of the amendment is very clear. What it does is ensure that less money in restitution will be paid to shelters that provide safe respite for battered and raped women and infants and children. What is happening here is not that the amendment would limit restitution to the cost of providing services, but would limit restitution to the amount, and the word in the amendment is, actually incurred by the victim. So therefore, if you have somebody who is virtually penniless and has to spend some time, certainly not by choice, in one of these shelters, and the shelter incurs a certain amount of cost, the court would not be able to order full payment to the shelter, but only the amount actually charged or, as the amendment says, incurred by the victim. So it seems to me that what this will do is limit the ability of a judge to provide needed funds for some of these shelters in direct relation to the costs borne by the shelter as it cares for the victim. Now, to me, this is restitution to the victim, whether or not the dollar amount that is charged to the victim is identical with the cost incurred to the shelter. Surely the costs incurred to the shelter are costs incurred for the victim, but not necessarily by the victim. I'd also point out that these shelters are not agencies. State agency is something that is a state entity. What these are in most parts of our state are small, independent, nonprofit corporations which depend upon a variety of grants, state, sometimes federal, often private. And in this case, a little bit of the burden that's being borne would go to the offender, the person who perpetrated the crime, who committed the act of violence against the woman or the child. And I think it's very appropriate that we vote down this amendment, pass the bill as it is before us. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any further debate on amendment number 3? Representative Taylor.
I don't think I could have put it any clearer than the last speaker just has. This body was told this was a bill for victims. You've now been told exactly what the bill is for. It's a funding source for agencies, in essence, shelters, who we fund fully at this time through our block grants, through our cities, through other areas. And basically, the bill, we're being told, doesn't have anything to do with victims. It's whatever amount of money their budget is short, that's the amount that somebody should get hit with. And I think that's totally inappropriate. What we're supposed to be focusing on here is the victim and how to make that victim whole, not how to take care of somebody else's budget through the court system. So I strongly ask that you support this amendment and make this bill do what they told us it was going to do.
Any further debate? Representative Kopanen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I oppose this amendment precisely because it seems to me that we have a number of approaches that we use to try to eliminate crime. We have programs, we have halfway houses, we try to eliminate some of the economic and social spurs to crime, but crime persists. And we think of deterrence. We hear of the death penalty. We hear of longer and longer jail sentences. But it seems to me that our society is organized very much around money. And I think having to pay the costs associated with taking care of a victim, whether they're directly to the victim or otherwise, are a greater deterrent than many of the other things we've talked about. Get them in the purse. I think that's even more important than getting them in time. Thank you.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall amendment number 3 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
13 yeas, 26 nays.
Amendment number 3 has failed adoption. The bill is back before us in third reading and under debate. Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 106 was introduced because violence has reached an unacceptable and disturbing level in our society. This bill sends a message to those whose violent acts do harm to others. That message, Mr. Speaker, is simple. If a person is found guilty of violence against another, then that person should pay, not the victim. This bill would require the perpetrators to pay the costs of their violent acts. Frequently, when people have been injured by violence, they require an extended period of counseling, as well as medical and dental attention. These are some of the costs that should be paid by the violent person. Further, Mr. Speaker, this bill would require the guilty person to establish the ability to pay the cost or prove that they cannot pay the cost incurred by both the victims and the state as a result of their violent acts. Studies prove the incidence of violence is lowered when perpetrators are arrested, brought to trial, and made responsible for the damages they inflict on others and society. This legislation accomplishes that. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any further debate? Representative Furness.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to speak just very briefly to the legislation. I followed the debate over the last several days on this, and I must admit I'm inclined not to want to support it. However, Mr. Speaker, I do understand the general purpose of this legislation, and that is to address the needs of a victim and to make that victim whole. Mr. Speaker, I think this legislation is deficit in that it does not, as the member from Ketchikan proposed, center its attention on the victim. What we do find, Mr. Speaker, and I think it's not right in this legislation, that we're gearing it towards the institution, towards that organization. Now, ideally, the cost incurred by that organization is the same cost incurred on behalf of the victim. Therefore, we have a zero balancing out of this. But if as a member from Ketchikan has explained, if we find a situation where that entity that's providing that care is incurring costs above and beyond that can be directly attributed to the victim and pass that on to the person that perpetrated that crime, then I have somewhat of a problem with that, particularly if the intent here is to make the victim whole, to address the concerns of the victim. Now, Mr. Speaker, again, I'm inclined to vote against this, but my good judgment says here that the bill is needed, and I will support it, and hopefully through the other body we can, again, look very objectively at this and hopefully do what, again, the bill, I'm told, was intended to do, make the victim whole and not be used as a means of supplementing the cost of the various organizations that will be providing the care.
Any further debate? Representative Sund.
Speaker, thank you for the opportunity, and I was absent on Friday and missed some of the debate, but I worked quite diligently on this piece of legislation in Judiciary Committee. And I just want to point out a couple of the changes that were made since that bill left that committee that raised a little bit of concern for me. And I'm going to take some time to think about some of the implications. But the bill still says you have to have a victim to get any restitution. So at least we have a victim still in the process here. And I think there has to be some damage to the victim, at least in lines 10, 11, and 12. It says, including restitution to the victim or shelter services to the victim. But in line 14, it says, or as otherwise authorized by law. And if you focus on that sentence and then go down to line 20, there's another important change that was made. That first caveat, the first consideration in Judiciary, used to read the public policy that favors requiring criminals to compensate their victims. That was the public policy statement. The line now says the public policy of the state is public policy that favors requiring criminals to compensate for their actions. So in this case, you can actually really have no damage to a victim. I think this gives the police department the right to go to court. They are a public entity. They were involved in this incident somehow, probably provided some counseling to recover some of their costs. It gives Humana Hospital, it gives Ketchikan General Hospital, it gives any private institution or nonprofit the right to go to court to compensate for their for the actions the criminal took place. And it doesn't really necessarily have to hook into damage to a victim. And the second part of that is on line 21, the second sentence there, it says a financial burden placed upon the victim, the words and others was added in there, and I'm not quite sure what that means, other than it might mean that others got some type of burden placed upon them that wasn't related to the cost of the victim. And I guess I see restitution to the cost of the victim or the issues that a victim undergoes. He goes to the hospital, as the representative from Kodiak mentioned, to get repaired from a battery, and I don't have a problem with that, but it seems to me that there's some philosophy we're putting in here that entities that incurred a cost that were not related to the damage to the victim, just the police arresting the person, I'm not sure has incurred a damage to the victim, have now the right to go in and seek restitution. And I'm going to vote for the bill here, but I think it's subject to reconsideration just to think a little bit about some of this, some philosophical changes I think are being made here, and I just want to point those out to the body. Thank you.
Any further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 106, Finance Amended, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk lock the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Will the clerk please tally the board?
35 yeas, 4 nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill 106, Finance Amended, has passed the House.
Representative Sund.
Mr. Speaker, I'd serve notice of reconsideration on committee substitute for House Bill 106.
Notice of reconsideration has been given on said bill. Representative Cotton.
Speaker, I give notice of reconsideration of my vote on House Bill 74.
Notice of reconsideration has been given on House Bill 74.
Okay. We have some final action on some citations before us. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have three citations on the calendar, and I move and ask unanimous consent that they be approved by the House. First honors Mildred Bagley, Girl Scout leader. Second honors Ernestine Griffin. Third is in memoriam Hernando Villarma.
Are there any objections to the citations on today's calendar? Hearing no objection, those citations have been approved. This brings us down to unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before this body? Committee announcements. Representative Sund.
Yeah, I think under unfinished business there was a reconsideration of House Bill 7, but I'm not sure I can bring it up since I wasn't here.
That is correct. Representative Gull.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to bring up reconsideration of House Bill 7.
Would the clerk please read the title of that bill?
Committee substitute for House Bill 7, financed by the Finance Committee, and act relating to the Office of Public Advocacy and Volunteer Guardians ad litem.
Ready for the question?
The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 7, finance, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Will the clerk please tally the board?
39 yeas, no nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill 7, finance, has passed the House on reconsideration.
Any further unfinished business? Announcements of standing committees or special committees? Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The only request I have, if the members would bring back to the Finance Committee the FY88 detail books so I can put in the budget amendments and correct those. I'm asking for the FY88 detail books, please. Thank you.
Any further standing committee announcements? Representative Ulmer.
Thank you. I would just like to invite the members of the body to come to the State Affairs Committee meeting this afternoon at 3 p.m. This will be our second hearing on the longevity bonus. And as you know, the longevity bonus issue is a very complicated one, particularly for those of you who are freshmen that do not have the benefit of the long debates which have occurred in the past about the various proposals. I would request that you consider coming. I'm going to be passing out this morning a report which was done by the House Research Agency, which summarizes some of the different proposals currently pending on the longevity bonus and describes the various cost alternatives. And I'd urge you each to take a look at it, and you'd be very welcome to join us at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Thank you.
Representative Cotton.
Not a committee announcement, Mr. Speaker, but Friday I received a report from the House Research Agency that I'd requested earlier on the Bradley Lake project and some of the analysis that we requested. And they've agreed to come over to the House Resources Committee room at 4 o'clock today for an informal briefing on their report and the progress of the next phase of their report, which would be on the interties. So everyone's welcome. It's not a formal hearing. It's a briefing on the report.
Okay. Any further announcements? Mr. Minority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, the District 4 Republicans are offering a two-for-one special tomorrow. Located this week only at the Sheffield House. The speakers will be the Steves, Representatives Rieger and Frank. The price of the lunch will not change, although we will have two speakers. So it's a special opportunity. I urge all of you. Thank you.
Representative Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to invite all members of this body to the Caucus on Children's Issues meeting that will be held today at noon in the Butrovich Room. Representative Boyer will present an overview of the effect of the governor's revised budget on children's programs.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Two announcements. First, we have two bills on reconsideration, House Bill 74 and House Bill 106. Urge the members to retain their packets on their desk. Second, the Bill Egan Forum tomorrow, Tuesday, March 24 at noon, in the Baranoff Hotel. Commissioner Hoffman of the Community and Regional Affairs Department will give an address on economic development in rural areas.
Representative Ulmer.
Mr. Speaker, could I ask for a brief at ease?
Would the House please stand at ease? Representative Ulmer.
Mr. Speaker, I'd also like to announce that the older Alaskans will be having a reception for all legislators this afternoon from 5 until 7 at the Baranoff. Thank you.
Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My committee announcement opportunity slipped by. I would like to announce that the International Trade Committee will meet today at 4:30, and today we'll be discussing the timber trade with China, and Representative Mike Davis and Frank Seymour of the Commerce and Economic Development Division of Minerals and Forest Products will speak and show slides of recent visits. Thank you.
Any further announcements? Special orders. Representative Gull.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I'd like the privilege of the floor to speak just for a moment on shelters and the legislation we just passed.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, proceed, Representative.
Thank you. I was intrigued by the remarks that were made just prior to the vote, and I expect the bill will be up again for reconsideration. And I just wanted to state my own feelings on it, if I could, which are basically these, that when a person is a victim of a crime, especially a violent crime against a child, for the state of Alaska to allow a judge in working to make the victim whole, as they say, I don't think they're just talking about making the victim back where they started from financially. I think they're also talking about the costs incurred to the public and the costs incurred to the state and the costs incurred to the variety of entities whose time and money is sometimes involved in making that victim whole physically and mentally. And I think permitting a judge to make such an order of restitution does not in any way create a right on the part of the police or a Good Samaritan citizen or a shelter or this body or anyone else to go before a civil court and say, I put in some work here and I should be compensated. I think the bill is pretty specific. It says that when there's a victim of violence involved and a sheltering activity takes place and there are costs involved, that the judge has a right as part of the restitution to the victim to make the victim whole, to cover these costs. And I think there is maybe a difference of opinion as to whether or not this should be, but I for one think it should, and this is my understanding, and I'd like to stress that I don't think passage of the legislation in any way suggests a right to restitution by third parties, but merely the right of the court to recognize the costs, all the costs involved in making the victim whole. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request the permission of the floor to speak on our special guest.
Are there any objections? Hearing none.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Very briefly, we acknowledge today the presence of 25 students from Clark Junior High in Anchorage. I mentioned, Mr. Speaker, that they came basically on their own dollars. I failed to mention, Mr. Speaker, that Alaska Airlines, for the second year in a row, have been very instrumental in again, assisting these students through the sponsorship of Alaska Airline Vice President Bill McKay. The airlines did make available 13 travel ships on behalf of the students and assisted them in making the hotel arrangement at a local hotel here. Mr. Speaker, I think the reason I bring this up is because, first of all, the airline should be commended for participating, and second, it is an excellent opportunity or an example of the relationship between the private sector, I'm sorry, the public sector, in our student bodies, particularly during times of declining revenues. So, you know, we should commend the airlines for their assistance and these students for having the wherewithal to want to come to see the legislature in action. We realize that the school district cannot afford to support all who would wish to make this trip. This is the second time that the students have been here, and I suspect that we will see them from years to come. It has been a very unique learning experience for those who were here last year, and this year, with the good weather the last couple of days and the floor action today and the committee meetings that they will have a chance to participate in, I'm sure it will be a very unique and very memorable experience for those students. Thank you.
Representative Taylor.
Yeah, I'd request permission of the floor to speak on the committee process.
Are there any objections? Hearing none.
Mr. Speaker, today we had a piece of legislation come through that had been heard extensively with actual testimony given in the Judiciary Committee. The entire committee worked a long time on that bill, held a couple, three different hearings, and came up with what we felt was a very fine substitute for that bill. In fact, it received the recommendation of almost every member of the committee when it left the committee. And that was bipartisan. And we thought we had done a good job of working. And we put in a lot of time and effort for that purpose. What we saw then happen was what I have seen happen in this body over a couple of years, but very infrequently. And that is the bill moved up to finance, and somebody up there wasn't quite happy with the fact that the Judiciary Committee had come up with a little bit different twist on their bill. So a subcommittee got created, and we end up with a Finance Committee report and a Finance Committee substitute. In my opinion, that was yanking the bill out of committee, and if in fact Finance intends to do that on further legislation coming through Judiciary, I sure wish somebody let us know, because there's no reason for us to sit down there in a committee of seven people wasting 3 or 4 days of precious committee hearing time if all we're going to do is run it on up the hill and let somebody drive the same bill right back down our throat again. Now, if that's what the body wants to do, go right ahead on her. I'm just sitting here in a minority. But maybe some of you guys in my majority be sick and tired of this, too, after the next two or three times it happens to you. Personally, I'm offended by it. I think it was yanking the bill out of the committee, and I sure hope that we'll get back to playing the game by the rule book. Otherwise, there's no sense in going to these committee hearings.
Any further special orders? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the body stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Wednesday.
10 a.m. Wednesday.